Welcome back to Raw Emotion, a Tottenham pod, or Raw Emotion, an England pod. Although most of the chat is about Tottenham, to be honest. We discuss the fouled move for Conte, Fonseca and Gattuso. And we talk about the director of football. We didn't even talk about the fixtures because we just went on a bit of a rant about what's going on with Tottenham. What else did we talk about? God, there's been so much that's happened. That was mainly it. And then obviously we focused on the England-Scotland game, which ended 0-0. I was on my own for most of the night. So we got Mac to talk about the stuff with Tottenham and the pre-game build-up and how we saw it going. None of us predicted 0-0, I don't think. I definitely predicted a 3-0, but that was pretty dire. So join us. Hear us moan about Tottenham, hear me moan about England at the end. Enjoy.
Hello, good evening, mate. Oh, all over the place, but yes, good evening.
All right, let's get down to it, mate, because I know you're a busy man today. So we ain't done a pod for, I'm guessing, maybe a week and a half.
Yeah, about that.
The last time we spoke, Conte was the day that it all broke that Conte was on the verge of signing. It was all pretty much signed and sealed. We were just waiting for him to sign the contract. There was a few little things that, you know, he still needed to sort out. Everyone was all pretty confident it was going to happen. I had a bit of a thing where I said, if it don't happen, then I'm done with Levy and Enoch. So I'm done with Levy and Enoch. First of all, yes, start there. What was your making of the Conte situation?
I was hopeful because, a bit like I was when Jose came in, you know, a manager of that quality and that calibre, I was thinking, you know, even with the season that we had, that we could still attract a manager like that. I was hopeful, just like I am every year with everything that Tottenham does. And I wasn't surprised that it went tits up because Levy wanted to put restrictions on a manager who could have done great things at Spurs. Yeah. And like you, I'll be honest, I said to you that if he fucks the Conte thing up, that would be me. And I'm the one probably constant in our recent podcast is my tone of voice. It's just like, I've, you look at who we were linked with and what we've had over recent years. And then you look at what we're being linked to, and I'm just sat there thinking, what the fuck? This is a joke, you know. Are they just pissing us all about, and all of a sudden Poch is going to turn up in 2 weeks? You know, what's the game? What's the end game? What's the plan? Because at the moment we look like a fucking shower shite and a laughing stock in front of every single other club in Europe right now.
Absolutely, and we'll run this in chronological order. So that fell through, and then we had I don't know how many days. I would say maybe 4 days, maybe, and then we got linked with this guy Fonseca, who our manager from last season, who was sacked, Mourinho, has gone to replace him at Roma. Now, all right, he wasn't sacked by Roma. His contract, they chose not to renew his contract and employed Mourinho instead of him. I personally. I mean, maybe this is my own football naivety. I heard of him at Roma because I heard that he was going. I didn't know him before that. I know he was at Shakhtar. I didn't know about him at Shakhtar. I'll hold my hands up. I was completely disappointed to hear them links. I don't know I've not spoken to you about your feelings on Fonseca, how you felt about them links with him.
My honest opinion with him was, I saw a lot of the keyboard warriors saying about how he was, sacked by Roma, we're getting, this sacked manager. And then I saw people posting, well, give the guy a chance. And like most Spurs fans, or some, anybody who comes in, they'll get my back in and I'll support the team. People saying, he won it with Shakhtar, done this, he's done that. And that's great to know that he knows how to win something. But the Premier League is probably the world. And he's won it twice on the bounce at a league that probably Division One standard, potentially, maybe Championship. Does that really compare with somebody like Mourinho or Conte who's won it at the highest level? So
I was slightly disappointed because of who we'd previously been linked with, but at the same time, I would have given him a chance like I would have done with anybody else.
Yeah, and that's where I'm. I mean, you only have to look at my tweets. It was never an issue against Fonseca personally. It was the caliber of manager that we were supposedly being linked with, bringing Poch back and maybe getting Conte to hit this guy who's never managed in the Premier League. He's never played in the Premier League. I'd never heard of him. His biggest manager, you know, biggest achievements, as you say, was in the Ukrainian League. If he would have come, I would have 100% backed him and got behind him as our manager. But I'll be honest, I'm delighted that that one broke down and he didn't come. But the way that it was handled was appalling. So then we move on to that was last night. We found out the news that for tax reasons, apparently, that deal broke down. So then we move on to Gattuso, the guy that had a nearly Glasgow kissed Joe Jordan when we played him in the Champions League a few years back. What did you make of that rumour?
I'll be honest, mate. I thought it was the piss take to think that we were going to get some guy who walked out of Fiorentina 20 days ago, 3 weeks ago. I what he's done. I don't know what he could have done, but I wouldn't have been happy with him coming in as the new Spurs manager. I think it would have been a bit of a joke. But also, I'll tell you something I've had a few thoughts about, is I'm wondering if Levy's looking for somebody to hold the fort until Poch's PSG contract runs out. I know that sounds really stupid, or might sound really stupid, but if he does have a desire to come back to Tottenham, and because they want maximum money and Levy won't pay it, they might have some kind of gentleman's agreement on the side that he won't renew his contract to PSG, but he'll come back to Tottenham. Maybe that's why things broke down with Conte. Maybe that's why we're looking at what looks like a bit of a stopgap joke appointment.
If that is the case, mate, that's no way to run a football club. You got to move forward. You don't look back. As much as I wanted Poch to come back, if he couldn't get out of that contract, we got to look forward. And you know, when you got a manager like Conte there, who, as much as I would take Poch over Conte for sentimental reasons, Conte's a better manager. He's won more. You know, but he does need the backing, and that's the reason he didn't go for Conte. But look, there's loads of different theories, mate. I've got loads of different things that I've come up with in my head about why we're doing this and why we're doing that, and it can only be for this reason or that reason. None of us know, but whatever the reasons are, it's fucking amateur and it's bloody ridiculous.
Did you see the tweet I put out today? I don't know if anyone's seen it, because I don't know if it got much coverage or whether people just think I'm chatting shit. But do you know what I put out today?
Go on.
I would, with the way things are going right now at Tottenham, I would genuinely and seriously consider Casey Stoney.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. I didn't know who she was, mate. Was she the Man United manager?
She's not at United anymore, but she has a good track record as a player for winning silverware. She's won the WSL. I think Man United has been her only club, but I had the pleasure of seeing United ladies against Tottenham, and they played some very nice football. Do you know what? We've got to start looking across the board. We can't just be looking at men, you know, especially now that the pool of men is becoming so much thinner and shallower. But yeah, mate, I'll be honest, I was, you know, some of the games that I saw Man United ladies play, I would genuinely wouldn't be disappointed if she came into Spurs, even on a 1 year deal, just to see what she did. Because let's be honest, I thought, Lord, we're gonna end up with Ryan Mason for another season, and I don't think she'd do any worse.
Well, for me, I don't think there's any place for women in football. So, you know, I'm just saying what Gattuso said, mate. That's all I'm doing there. For me, I mean, I personally, I don't know the woman for a start, so I don't know much about women's football. I actually used to work with a lot of England women football players when I worked at the FA, to be honest with you. People like Farrah Williams and that. So I know a little bit about it, but I don't think men's football are ready for women football managers at this time.
Well, someone's got to take the leap, mate. And, you know.
Yeah, I don't want it to be Tottenham, mate. We need to, mate. I'm not being funny. Like, maybe it would work, maybe it wouldn't. But we're not a club that should be trying stuff like that. We're meant to be, like, trying to be an elite club, mate. We was talking about being in the Super League a month ago.
And, you know what? You're right. And this adds more credence to the joke that was the Super League. Why the fuck was Tottenham even considered when we go for so long without having a manager, not even somebody lined up? But quickly, to go back to that ex-Roma manager, do you know the only thing that gave me a little bit of hope about him coming to Tottenham?
Go on.
That he was apparently Patrice's choice. Now, and that's just me taking the word of how good this guy is. So that's probably the only reason I was a little bit gutted about the Frenesta, isn't it? You know, deal not coming to fruition. Just because it was his choice, he's supposed to be. You know, it's like this season. If he's as good as everybody makes out he is, and what he's supposed to be, then I'm not going to be sat there moaning on Twitter or even in the stands as to who we bring in. As long, you know, if he's as good as he says they are, same as regards players. I'm £5 million players, and you know, people start going, well, we shouldn't. You know, we're not spending the money. If they turn out to be crackers with what his track record for what he's done in the past is. Then, yeah, you know, this season coming, I've kind of resigned myself to the fact that I don't think it's going to be nowhere near as good as recent years. But if Patrice brings in some decent players for a good price, and he brings in a manager that he backs 100%, then I'm prepared to give it every chance. And yeah, and don't get me wrong, that's not me backing Levy. That's me backing the team, director of football.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I don't know much about this guy. All I do know is that his last managerial appointment was Pirlo, who lasted the season at Juventus, and they've got rid of him. Because Juventus really, you really struggled. They just got the Champions League on the last day of the season. Surprisingly, overtaking Gattuso's Napoli to get that place.
Yeah.
His track record of getting players. I know nothing of this guy. I'll be honest with you. I haven't been that interested in reading all about him because I'm just fucking disillusioned. But we ain't even got a fucking manager, mate.
I haven't read loads about him, but no. I've just seen snippets here and there. And everything I've read is positive. So, you know, like even what Alistair Gold was saying, and, you know, other so-called, I'm not going to say so-called, because Alistair Gold is Bob on. But, you know, then you've got those other guys who, you know, tier ones, tier twos, or whatever, tier fives, who like to think they're tier ones. And, you know, sort of looking at a lot of everything that they say about the guys is positive stuff. So, you know,
just on him really quickly is, I think it's different working for a club like Juventus where they're attracting players like Cristiano Ronaldo and he's working on deals like that. When we're working on deals to bring in fucking Vinicius from Benfica and I don't know, mate. In a way, I would have rather have seen someone who knows our league better. And, mate, I don't know if you've seen this article today. I actually went on a YouTube channel earlier on. I went on We Are Tottenham TV, which is a really good YouTube channel. I went on there and done some stuff with them today. And there was an article come out just as I was on there from Alistair Gold saying that there's rumours that there's already conflict between Levy and the director of football because Levy's looking for an attack-minded coach and this director of football was looking for a more defensive type of coach. I mean, it's just, you couldn't make the stuff up, mate. Like, it's just utterly... The whole situation... And look, we're only going on what the media are telling us. We don't even know. Another one, coming up with theories, mate, it was a theory that I thought today. This Gattuso, his agent is Mendes. Who's Mourinho's agent? Mendes.
Yeah.
apparently this director of football is good friends with Mendes. Are they just fucking trolling us, mate, or what? Are they just trying to fucking drag our name through the fucking mud?
Fucking over from the inside.
And it's just the kind of shit that goes through. I'm coming up with all these different theories of what might be happening because none of it makes any logical sense to me. Like, it's fucking so stupid that I just can't think. There must be something going on in the background that we don't know about. Then it's just mental stuff. Like, I don't know what is going on, mate.
I'll be honest with you, mate. I think if we knew everything that was going on, it would... Yeah, we would probably boycott everything in its entirety. Or you never know. Because I know Levy's the face of Tottenham and the board and, you know, and he's got the title of chairman. But I'm just sat wondering, genuinely wondering, if he's... Now, let's say we take his TV appearances as genuine and he is that struggling Tottenham fan like the rest of us who wishes that more could be done.
Mm.
And I'm not trying to support Levy.
No, go on.
But
what if
he is tied? You know, he's on the rack from powers that be. You know, you look at the fact we're looking for a manager, but don't worry about the fact we haven't got a manager. We've got an NFL game and we've got the Joshua fight. Do you know what I mean? What's the priority? And you know, you're reading these articles about how the Tottenham Stadium was actually built with NFL franchise in mind rather than actual football. So,
but that was so obvious from the outset, man. I don't know why people were surprised about that. That was like,
regardless of surprise, if this isn't his choice and he's just the face, if he's being pushed from above, because let's be honest, he's a middleman between the fans and whoever is up there throwing the money about. Hands tied, but as a good employee, isn't prepared to throw his boss under the bus and say, well, these cunts ain't giving me the money. There's not much I can do, guys. You know, don't vent at me, vent at those pricks.
Then but remember that he's part owner, mate. He owns like, what is it, like 30% of Tottenham. He's part owner. He's just managing it for Enoch. And basically, mate, they're not throwing money around. All they're doing is, the reason we're in this fucking mess is because they're refusing. He said it on that interview. They're refusing to put money, their own money, Enoch's money into it because we're a self-sustainable club. Because we haven't been making any profit, they're not putting anything in, which is why we're fucking scrambling around
until
managers like Fonseca and Gattuso because we're going for the cheap option. We don't have the money to buy a manager out of his contract.
But until they start putting the money in, they're not going to see any increase in their turnovers.
Well, this is what makes no sense, mate. This is the point. This is why. And I'm no fucking. But I've never run a. I've not run any business. I'm not claiming to be a businessman because I'm not. But just as like, it makes no sense to me or you because even two people with no business. I don't know whether you have. But I certainly have no business acumen at all. Can see so clearly that they need to invest some money in order to speculate to accumulate. It's just basic stuff. Like need to put this money in because here's you're going to get it back. You're going to get it back if you invest in it down the line.
Theory for you, right? You say Levy owns 30% of the club.
It might not be as much as that, but he definitely owns a percent.
No, let's just say for argument's sake, he owns 30% of that club.
Yeah.
And he's prepared to throw £80 million into the pot for transfers, right? Because that's roughly what we seem to spend, you know, without considering what else is coming on from sales of other players.
Yeah.
So what if he's stumping up £80 million a year and going, do you know what? Yeah, there's £80 million, boys. I'm sorry, it's not much, but... And it's everybody else who isn't stumping up the money. It's just a theory based on percentage. And you look at what we do have as a transfer budget. You know, I'm just putting it out there. Like I say, I'm not trying to be pro-Levy. I'm not saying that the guy is saintly. And I'm not saying that, you know, we need to give the guy any leeway. You know, I'm just putting out, you know, seeing we've had a couple of other theories. Let's put that one out there.
Well, I've only just gone to the side of Enoch and Levy out. It's only happened when we did the last podcast. I wasn't Enoch out. I've supported them all the way. I said on the podcast when people were going to that protest a few weeks ago, I said, I'm giving him this summer to see. Yeah. So I've been very level headed with Enoch and Levy and everything else, but now I'm just I've had enough, mate. I've had this. It's mistake after mistake after mistake, and I'm just done with it. But listen, I know. Listen, we ain't got much time. We will do a longer one, but the team's just come out, mate. I'll just read it to you because we were going to do Europod, but there's just so much going with Tottenham. But look, Pickford, Shaw, Declan Rice, Stones, Kane, Sterling, Phillips, Mings, Mount, Foden, Reece James. So the fullbacks have changed.
Yeah. And Foden in.
Foden was already in before, mate. Foden started the first game as well.
He played up with Sterling, didn't he?
Yeah, that's exactly the same team apart from the fullbacks. I'm happy enough with that, mate, because they would have been my starting fullbacks for the first game.
Yeah, I'm happy that he's put a left back in, because I'll be honest with you, as much as I, you know, understand potentially, you know, final ball, you know, being the issue during the first game, you know, getting a better final ball in. That's why he probably played Trips down the left. I'm happy Shaw's in there. I'm happy Reece James is in there. I'm obviously happy Foden's in there, as much as he's, you know, he's got a dodgy fucking hair colour and haircut. The boy's class. The only thing I'm a little bit gutted about, and I will be until he gets a start, is I think Grealish needs to get on the pitch. That boy needs to, when we hopefully get out of the group stages, and we need that little bit of magic to maybe get past a Germany, a Portugal, a France, depending on who we get in the next round.
Yeah, hopefully he'll start against, he'll come on today, hopefully. And he was injured at the back end of the season, wasn't he? And maybe that's why, I don't know. But yeah, I'm a massive Grealish fan. I'd love to see Grealish play. But we've got such an abundance of talent on that bench. That, you know, if he starts, great. If he doesn't, it's a great substitution to bring on. Look, quickly, I've not asked you this because I know are you half Scottish? Is your old man Scottish?
My grandparents on my dad's side, my dad's dad is Scottish. I was born up there, so I'm Scottish by birth, but to mudblood parents.
Right, so you're fully on board with the England thing, or I'm taking you got a soft spot for Scotland, but you're going to be supporting England today, are you?
So many years ago, I'm proud that I was born up in Scotland, and I consider myself a bit of a jockney.
Yeah.
You know, combination of the two. So I've got a tribal sleep down my left arm, and I've got a little Scotland flag in that, but I'm stood wearing my England shirt.
Yeah, good man. Good man.
So yeah, I'm when it comes to football, mate, I'm England. I've always been England because Scotland have always been shy. Fucking sheep, pal, you know what I'm saying? Pure pash. So, you know, get beat, get stuffed and fuck off.
What's your prediction then, mate? Come on, just get that out here.
I think it's gonna go one or two ways. I think they're either gonna sit deep, they're gonna try and frustrate us, and we'll nick it 1-0 because they'll have a momentary lapse in concentration. Or I think that we'll go and we'll start to relax, they'll get one back, and because they'll push to the second, we'll get a third. So it's either gonna be a cagey 1-0 or an exciting 3-1.
My prediction, I think it will be 3-0, but I agree. Listen, it's one of them games where I would not be surprised if we lost this game at all, because the Scottish are going to be well up for it. It's their biggest game in, what, 23 years?
It's not far off. Two Premiership sides going at each other. So, no.
So their team, Tierney's made it in, the scumbags made it in. So Marshall, O'Donnell, Robertson.
He should have started in their first game, mate. It was more important. Tierney was, they left him out because of a strain, but he was fit enough to play. And it ended up being that he wanted him fit for the England game. But to be fair, they had a better chance of winning their last game than this one. So I'm surprised that he didn't start in their opening game. But yeah, I'm sure he'll try and give some problems to us.
Just looking at their team, there's not a player there apart from Robertson who I think would make our starting lineup, to be honest with you. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter, to be honest with you. This game, it's like when West Ham play Tottenham, they're going to turn up, aren't they? It means it's a World Cup final, you know.
It's a cup game, mate. It's the oldest and biggest rivalry in world football.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a cup, mate. It's a cup game. You know, this is Man City versus Southampton, you know, or Brighton. And if they turn up on their day, mate, and we're not quite at the races, they could make us suffer.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, either way, I know that I'm a winner. So, you know.
Well, yeah, you can't lose, can you? Well, you can draw. Lose. You can draw, mate.
Yeah, well, if Scotland win, mate, I'll be going home putting my kilt on. So, you know, and charging around the streets.
All right then, mate. I'm going to do the half-time and the full-time. If you're not sure whether you're going to be around, but if you are, then you'll join me. But if not, we'll catch up in the week, mate. All right.
Yeah, well, listen, just in case I'm not about, everyone who listens, I hope you've enjoyed the game. Obviously, Mark will take you through the rest. And come on, England.
Come on, England. So it's half-time. England 0, Scotland 0. I thought England started pretty well, actually. Getting forward really well. Stones had a great chance to make it 1-0. Free header, hit the post. Possibly could have done a bit better because he was sort of unmarked. But yeah, he'd done really well. Then there was another chance, literally like a minute after that, where Mason Mount, I think, from recollection, had a chance where he probably should have done a bit better. There was another chance when the only half chance Kane has had in, what, a game and a half now, when it was swung in, it was just offside. Possibly if he'd have scored, it would have gone to VAR. Might have just been onside. But that's the only chance he's had. We don't get the ball into him enough. He's been told not to, well, supposedly told not to drop deep, which he's been doing for us this season. But we're just not getting the ball into him. I feel quite sorry for him, really. If you don't get him the chances, what is he meant to do? We know if you provide him with chances, he's going to score. We just seem hesitant to get the ball into the box, a bit like Tottenham were doing last season, where we just frightened to cross a ball in. We saw what happened when Scotland got a ball in, and they had a really good shot. I can't remember who shot. I think it was their right back had a shot, and it was a good save by Pickford. That's Scotland's only real effort, but it's one of them games that if you don't take your chances, Scotland will get one or two chances and they could end up winning the game. I was quite confident before the game that we would win this 3-0. But the longer it goes on, I think the more nervy it gets, the more that their fans are well up for it, as we expected them to be. You could see England losing this if they don't pull their finger out. I'm still confident. I still think we should win the game. We've got to stop playing backwards all the time. We need to go forwards. We've got the players to go forwards. There's no point in just keep going back and waiting for that perfect opportunity. Let's actually do something. Make a chance happen. Put a few crosses into the box. Put them under a bit of pressure. All it needs to do is fall right. And you've got players like Kane or Sterling or Foden or even Mount to, you know, to have an effort. I can definitely see Grealish coming on. He'll make things happen. He'll run at players. He'll create chances. I'd probably say take Sterling off because we don't seem to be using his pace anyway. But yeah, that's my thoughts at half time. I still think England will win. I'm still going to go for 3-0. If we get the early goal, I can still see a 3-0 result. But equally, sitting on the fence a bit, I suppose, because I could see Scotland. If it gets to the last 15 minutes and it's 0-0, I actually think Scotland will win. I actually think that we'll start getting a bit nervy. They've got not much to lose, and I can see them maybe getting that lucky goal, that winner, that breakaway goal, and that's the risk you take if you don't get an early goal in this second half. So we'll see what happens. It's really a must-win game. If we win this game after the Czech Republic and Croatia drew, we qualify. So, you know, we have to go out and we have to win. We're at home. They've just said Scotland they've only beaten us four times in their whole history at Wembley. So, look, fate's on our side in that respect. We are the better team on paper. We need to go and prove it on the pitch. So, come on, England. Just get the job done and let's get this win. So the end of the game, it is England 0, Scotland 0. To be honest, Scotland definitely deserved the point from that game. England really disappointing, to be honest. Really disappointed with that performance. I don't know what's wrong with them. Like, easily, man for man, we had the better team there. Didn't do anything. We started really well. First 15 minutes looked excellent. As I said, the Stones effort hit the post. Then the Mount chance. I'm struggling to think of 2 minutes in the second half, to be honest. Scotland probably had the better chance in the second half. Disappointing, really. That's we needed to win that. And again, admittedly, Kane didn't have his best game, but none of them did. And I don't see why you would take your captain, your best chance of getting a goal, why you would take him off again. Sterling was not playing well. You could easily have had Rashford and Kane in the same team, with Rashford out wide, like he's done on many occasions, playing alongside Kane, with Kane in the middle. I don't understand that as a tactical change. Like, what are you doing? You're taking off a number nine and bringing on Rashford, who's not really a number nine. He plays more out wide. Like, I don't... That just doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you take off the top goal scorer in the Premier League, also got an assist in him, and keep Sterling on, who, okay, he scored in the last game, but he hasn't had a great season, and he wasn't playing great either. I don't understand that as a decision. Southgate really needs to question himself there. As they were just saying on there, Scotland are the third lowest ranked team in the tournament. But I don't read too much into that. That's a derby game. They were going to be well up for it. And credit to Scotland. They definitely deserve that point. I said at half time that I felt that if it got to the last 15 minutes, that Scotland would actually go on and win. And I felt that during the game. I thought it was going to play out like that for sure. Because, you know, the nerves started to really sort of crank up in that last 15 minutes. Just at the end there, when there's an opportunity just to take a shot, we're not shooting. And Grealish added the chance. We know it's like 2 minutes of injury time. Why are we just not having a go? Why, you know, just have a pop. And at the end as well, where there was that bundle in the box, it wouldn't have led to anything. But why was that a free kick? What was the free kick for? Rice was laying on the floor. And it looked like it may have even hit Robertson's arm, and I'm not saying it should have been a penalty, because I don't think it should have been, or was it McTominay? I don't know. They didn't really replay much of it. But again, the foul on Sterling in the box, I don't think that was a penalty. I think he did just catch his foot, but he definitely made the most of it. Wasn't a penalty for me. Just on a side note, I actually quite enjoy listening to Ali McCoist. I've always quite liked Ali McCoist. I find him quite entertaining to listen to. And Lee Dixon's just a fucking prick. So that was my feelings on that. Not really much to say. We've still got the chance to win the group in our hands, because Czech Republic drew today with Croatia. We've drawn with Scotland. If we draw, Czech Republic will win the group, because obviously they've got the better goal difference after winning their first game 2-0 against Scotland. So yeah, we have to go and win. We have to go and beat the Czech Republic, which I think we are capable of doing, and I think we will do that. I think we will win the final game, but we have to play a lot better than that. And if we come up against a top team, if we play like that, then we definitely are not going any further in this competition. Although I do expect us to play better than that against the better team. And I say, credit to Scotland. Take nothing away from their performance. They definitely deserve the point. So congratulations to them. They'll be delighted with that. And that gives them a chance of going through as well. If we beat the Czech Republic and they get the win against Croatia, you know, they'll go through. So, or yeah, my maths is terrible. They potentially could go through in second place. All right, Croatia is a difficult game, but the Croatia have not looked good, have they? Let's face it. So the jocks have given themselves a real chance. I personally don't want them to go through. I'm sure Mac will. I personally don't, because they can't stand us. There's no way that they would want us to go through. They've, you know, bought Croatia shirts in the semi when we played them in the semi-final of the World Cup. They were wearing Colombia shirts. So I did used to support all of the home nations, but I've given up doing it now because they can't stand us. So I don't see why they should get my support. Saying that, I don't really care either way, to be honest with you. It would be nice to keep the teams in the competition. I think it, for the whole country, it just keeps everyone interested. And after such a shit year in I'll say Britain, not just England, in Britain, it would be quite nice for the Scottish. So I've just contradicted myself a little bit. It would be quite nice for them to go through. They've not been in the competition since 1998, but I couldn't really give too much of a fuck, to be honest with you. If they do, they do. If they don't, they don't. Hopefully we'll do another one of these pods for the next game. Sorry you were just listening to me ramble. Mac was busy this evening, so he couldn't come and join me, but going back to the Tottenham stuff, hopefully we might get a resolution in terms of the manager this week. My gut feeling's telling me that it's going to be fucking Southgate or Martinez. That's my feeling on it at the minute. Out of the options that are left, I think Ten Hag's gone back to the favourite again. It's like the fucking hokey-cokey. He's in, he's out, he's in, he's fucking out. But I don't know. You just need to get someone now. We've gone from some fucking world-class managers to some fucking dross being linked to us and supposedly about to sign. So I just want the saga over with. And that's it. So thank you for listening. Sorry that, well, it's the English fans that we didn't get the win today. But, you know, congratulations. If you are Scottish, congratulations on a well-earned point. You definitely deserved it. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks again for listening to Raw Emotion, a Tottenham stroke England pod. Thanks for joining us for a disappointing night, 0-0. But we move on to the next one, Czech Republic. We've, you know, it's all in our hands to win that group. So we've got to go and do it, go get the 3 points. I'm sure we can. That was really poor tonight, but we'll play better against them. We'll get the win and we'll win the group. And then we'll get knocked out to, who would it be, Portugal or Germany or France, whoever. Not full of optimism at the minute in anything to do with football. So thanks for joining us. Yes, I hope for a more upbeat one the next one we do. Cheers.